Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Grider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody. Happy Tuesday, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Grider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com. And tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight's topic, 7 ways that Adolf Hitler was a near-perfect type of Antichrist, as well as another NTEB open forum question and answer. Did you know that the life of Adolf Hitler in many ways is almost a perfect match for how the Bible says the Antichrist will be when he arrives on the scene in the days after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church? Tonight, we look at 7 ways that Adolf Hitler was a near-perfect type of the biblical Antichrist, as well as take your Bible questions in another exciting NTEB open forum. Daniel 11:45, "And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." We're looking at how Adolf Hitler was a type of the biblical Antichrist in 7 particulars, things that match so closely, it's hard to believe that Hitler was not the actual Antichrist. Did you know that his 1920 Nazi ID card was 555? It was, and we will show it to you. The next one won't just be a type, and he will be 666. This is a fascinating end times study, one that you won't want to miss. Plus, we take your Bible questions on any topic from Genesis to Revelation. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day, for waking us up. We thank you for the food. We thank you for the clothes. We thank you for the shelter. We thank you, God, for our families, for our salvation. We thank you, God, for every good gift that you give us. And Lord, we ask you to meet with us once again as we open up your preserved word to look at the truth from your perspective. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking at Adolf Hitler as a type of Antichrist is a fascinating study. But it's not just because he was mean and nasty and the world's biggest serial killer. That's not what we're really looking at tonight. Tonight we're looking at 7 ways that we have identified from the Bible that tells us how Antichrist will act and the things that he will do and the type of reign that he shall have. And when we look at the life of Adolf Hitler, who ruled Nazi Germany from 1933 to 1945, the parallels and the similarities are absolutely stunning. So tonight we're going to look at 7 ways Adolf Hitler was a near-perfect type of Antichrist. Plus, we haven't done this in quite a while. We're going to have another open forum. Any Bible question that you have, from anything, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, you want to talk about the Nephilim and the Rephaim, you want to talk about worldwide floods and Antichrists and the coming Messiah, you want to talk about the gap theory, anything that you want to talk about, the discrepancy with King Azariah beginning to reign at 22, and then in 2 Chronicles, it says that he began to reign at 42. Whatever you want to look at tonight, we will be happy to open up our King James Bible and see if we can answer those questions. We have a birthday today. Let's just take a moment and wish our brother Mike Bragdon He's listening tonight from the NTEB outpost in North Georgia. Let's take a moment, everybody, and wish Mike Bragdon a very happy birthday.
You were born. It's the day your mama brought you home. It's a special day. Let us celebrate. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. I'm going to celebrate with you. Time to celebrate. Tell everybody. Come on, y'all.
At the bottom of the hour, we're going to have our time of prayer and praise. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, just post it in the chat room and we'll be happy to lift it up. And we have a big praise report here today. Lori Ann hurt her neck and she's been in a lot of pain lately. And we went to get an x-ray yesterday, got the results back today, and there is no damage to her spine. So praise the Lord for that. Please keep her in your prayers. But what a blessing it is, what a relief it is that there was no damage to her spine. Amen. Amen. We're so glad that you are with us tonight. You know, God is no matter how he answers your prayer, God is good. He is always good.
Of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears. But I felt his arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As his grace rolled down upon me, undeserved, for God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and his love will be my end. I could spend forever trying tell you everything he is. But the best way that I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel so blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. O daughters of Zion, O Abraham's sons, hear the words of your father, hear his promise of love. I will make you a blessing, so count the stars if you can. You will be a great nation, I will give you this land. I will bring you back home, I'll bring you back home, oh my children. You will no longer roam lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take you away. Once I gather you under my wings, I will bring you all back home again. Though you've wandered like strangers to the ends of the earth, I will send you a savior, I will finish my work. No other shepherd, you have no other Lord. Green pastures are waiting in Zion once more. I will bring you back home, I'll bring you back home, oh my children. We will mourn for the one we've pierced. But don't fear, oh my daughters, O sons of Abraham. I will wash you with water, I will offer the lamb. Though your sins were like scarlet, they'll be whiter than snow. I have always been with you, I will never let go. I will bring you back home, I'll bring you back home, oh my children. Thank you.
Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai
Amen. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world could afford today. Did you know that the scraps from the fields of God are more satisfying than the banquet table of the world? Well, that's true if you're a Bible believer. That's true if you've been born again by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ruth 2:12, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." The scraps from the fields of God are 1,000 times better than the banquet table of the world. In just a few minutes, we're going to go into our time of prayer and praise. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, post it in the chat room. And if you're just tuning in, tonight's Bible study is on how Adolf Hitler was a near-perfect type of Antichrist in 7 particulars. And we're going to be taking your Bible questions in a NTEB open forum. I'm excited for that. We haven't done that in a little bit, and it's just time for another one. So glad that you are here. Prayer time in about 5 minutes. That's him. Here he comes. Amen, Lord.
And he's got the blood.
Amen, amen, Lord. Thank you for the blood.
And he's got the blood that he shed.
The preacher got up and said, stand to your feet. We'll start with a prayer. If you have a need, let it be heard, saints, let it be known. We're all family, and you're not alone. But that's when he saw her in the back of the church. Her silence and sadness cried out the hurt. The kind shepherd knew just what to say. I need to know before we pray. An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life.
Just lift up your hand
to the one who can give you rest.
Child, have no fear,
our God can hear
an unspoken request. Well, the preacher whispered as she raised her hand, sweet Holy Spirit, come by her and stand. When her tears started flowing, he had no doubt that in the throne room of heaven, her secret was out. An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life.
Just lift up your
hand to the one who can give you rest.
Child, have no fear,
our God can hear
an unspoken request. Child, have no fear,
our God can hear
an unspoken request.
Lord, we come before you tonight and we pray for lost souls. Bonnie says, please pray for my 5 children, 17 grandchildren, and 14 great-grandchildren. Barbara says, please pray for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandel. Nicole Zimmer, please pray for my best friend and family, the Meads and the Cooks. Also, please pray for my job as an RN. There's a lot of things going on lately. Just the Lord knows what's going on. Cheyenne says, please pray for Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick, Beth, Ethan, and Haley. Also, keep Cheyenne in your prayers. He's been going through a lot lately. Karen's children, Jason and Tiffany. Grandchildren, Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara's son Jody, Mark Sherlock for Savannah and Mom Stephanie, Werner Bukes for Bob and Abby, Junie and her dad, Kathy Hughes' son, Haley praying for Zane, Lulu, unsaved family members, Miles and his family need to be saved. In the Giacomino family, Dennis, Michelle, Lorenzo, Roman, Gianna, Jessica, Sophia, Justin, Blondie, Giovanni, Luca, Dominic, Deb, Maurice, Courtney, Josh, Gabe, Haley, Emma, Amy, Rochelle, Dan, Evie, Lincoln, Felicia, Ethan, Bob, Stacy, Lauren, Andrew, and Karen. Dawn D praying for David Paul Caulfield, for his brother-in-law Frank. Ramona Hayes, please pray for my daughter Kimberly to be saved and to get sober. Also for grandchildren, William, Jason, David, and Amanda, and their families. Patrick praying for Jack and Aaron, Chelsea P. for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband, and Adam's wife, Shayna. They need to be saved. People who need a healing tonight. Lori Ann, please continue to pray for my mom, Joyce, as she is battling breast cancer, chemo, and a blood clot. Derek O'Reilly, please add my mother on the prayer list. She goes back to a specialist on Tuesday to see if her blood clot is gone and to see if we can get clearance to fly to Portugal in September for a badly needed vacation. Cher, I have a prayer request for a friend named Ron. Doctors just found a large lump in his lungs. Also, granddaughter Cheyenne still waiting for an appointment with a neurologist. Daniel, please pray for my mental and emotional health, please. Sadie, please pray for wisdom and guidance. Heather, Lyme disease and rheumatoid arthritis. Jeff Ward says, thank you for continuing to pray for my wife, Amanda, as we go through cervical cancer. Amber, we are praying for her for a complete healing, for peace, and for God to keep his hand on every part of her life. Angela, please pray for my sister-in-law, Gail, who has stage 4 kidney disease and is on dialysis. please pray for my brother, Larry, to get saved. Linda's sister, Mary Ann, with rheumatoid arthritis. Asher, please pray for my mom. Juanita, please pray for my daughter battling depression and anxiety. And her name is Madison. Gail has an unspoken, God knows the need. Stephanie, please pray for husband Andy's battle with alcoholism and for him to get saved. Krista is battling breast cancer. Michelle Christian battling bone cancer. Rob Beatty battling liver cancer. And Amanda Emaw battling breast cancer. Gail, please pray for Katie. She needs a liver transplant. Annetta for a complete healing after having a stroke. Marcia Swanson has myalgic encephalomyelitis. George H. has health issues. James Rivette recovering from addiction and mental health issues and is looking for work. Robert Wiley is in the closing stages of ALS disease. Please pray, he says, for my disability benefits to be transferred to my wife. And he says, so that I can live long enough to transfer those benefits. Jill Puckett losing her vision. Paul Caulfield, type 1 sugar diabetes. Ron Alliston has cancer. Brooke Kettlecamp, we have been praying for her to get approval to be transferred to a autism treatment facility in Iowa, where her family is. Rob's friend Mike has MS. Dan Kane, his wife Roxy, has MS. Also, please pray for son Jonathan. Roz has asthma and scoliosis. Ida Karulik has cancer. Maddie Luck has Lewy body dementia. And her daughter Michelle has neuropathy and fibromyalgia. Melissa B's husband Brian has stage 3 kidney disease. Ricky Gouda needs prayer for her eyesight. KC is a woman with lupus and kidney issues. Jane, please pray for my parents and brother to get saved and my husband to have a healing. Jackie H, please pray for God's favor regarding my ex in custody of my son. Dave Evans' friend Manuela has vasculitis. Stacy, going through a divorce, please pray that she and her husband get right with the Lord. Terry Horn has had several strokes. Please pray for her. Casey, please keep my husband on the prayer list. He is unsaved and a severe alcoholic. Tom Rance continues to recover from a brain bleed. Kathy Heald is recovering from surgery, and her husband Robert and Aunt Linda have macular degeneration. Wayne needs prayer for cancer. Teresa G., macular degeneration. Linda Benjamin for overall health and memory problems. Berta and Mike Crabb going through health issues. Katie Boehm, please pray for my incarcerated fiancé named Matt to get right with the Lord. Lori Ann's aunt Dorothy has a brain tumor, and we're praying for a healing there. Ladies who are expecting, Stephanie Juliana, pregnant with her first child and due this month. Sarah Ann Severson, I have reached out to Cindy to find out if she delivered her baby last month. We have not heard, but please keep Sarah Ann Severson in your prayers. Spray of Sunshine would like prayer for son and girlfriend who are expecting twins. Jose and Anna De La Rosa expecting their third baby. Marilyn Linnall, please pray for our granddaughter-in-law, Tori, expecting in August. Tanya, my son Vincent and his fiancée, Sarah, having twins in August. Abigail Wagner, home delivery this month. CJ, daughter-in-law Emily, expecting in December. And Deborah Mack, please pray for Gwen, who is pregnant about 2 months and going through morning sickness. Mark Saxa would like prayer for his son Joseph to return to the Lord. John Walker and his wife for their gospel track ministry. Deborah Mack for Devin Miller. Lost Lake Lass, please pray for my son Tristan. And Linda LaPiana, please pray for my kids Stephen, Danielle, and Christopher to return to the Lord. People with an unspoken, Dave M., Jeanette, Derek O'Reilly, Adrian Breda, Debbie Mathias, Julius, Dave Evans, Ricky Gouda, Blaine, Jennifer, Carol from Georgia, Ron M., Bonnie, Marie Comfort, Rob, Steph, Marie C., Mona and Leah, Angela, Brooke, Lulu, Linda Pippin, Andrew, Lori Ann, and Blaine. Amen. Let's go to the chat room and see what we have there tonight. Herb Lacey, asking for prayer for his father who has been ill. And we had prayed for his dad a while back. Kelly reached out today to say that Herb's dad went home to be with the Lord on Sunday. And now Herb needs a lot of prayer. So please pray for Herb Lacey after his father's homegoing on Sunday. Kathy, prayer request, Bruce, and family, job, and future endeavors. Amen. Deborah Mack, please pray. Vacation Bible School is being rescheduled. Daniel has a sore throat. Jeanette says, Brooke has a prayer. Please pray for my sister, Ashley. They took her off insurance 3 weeks ago, and now she cannot get insulin, and her blood sugar is over 500. So please pray that she can get her insurance back. Kimmy D., please keep Luigi in prayer. He is saved and in the closing stages of pancreatic cancer. Please pray for him for comfort and for his wife, Rhonda. So please pray that Luigi has a smooth and good and comforting homegoing. Do you ever pray about that? You ever think about your own mortality? I think about that. I thought about it a lot during the pandemic. And for a number of years now, I have been praying that whenever the Lord decides to take me, if I don't live long enough to see the rapture, one of my daily prayers is I ask God to give me grace and comfort when my time comes. I don't know when it's going to be. I hope I live long enough to see the rapture. But do you ever pray about that? Do you ever pray about your own death, that God in that moment would give you strength and comfort and maybe even give you a witness on your way out? Just something to think about. Deborah Mack says, please pray for Daniel, his sister Anne-Marie, and my son Josiah. They will be speaking to children this afternoon and all week. Amen. Lulu, praise report. She says, thank you for all your prayers for my sister. All her tests came back great. And she says, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Angela, back from Michigan and the Catholic funeral for mother, lots of family, over 100, got to speak with a third cousin for an hour, and she got saved and witnessed to two people there. That's a great praise report. Amen. It sure is. And she says, please pray for Sally so devil does not steal her joy. Amen. Charlie on the Highway has a Bible question for the open forum, and I'll read that when it comes time. Karen, have all sorts of sciatic nerves in both legs and tailbone. She said that she broke her tailbone in three places, and now she has muscle spasms and pinched nerves, and it hurts greatly. Please pray. Angela, please pray for all unsaved Catholic family members. Lola W. has an unspoken. And Soda Man, please pray for my brother-in-law, Paul, to get saved. He is waiting for the rapture to happen before he believes. Huh. I don't know if I ever heard that one before. You're waiting to see if it's all real when the rapture takes place. I think that might be waiting a little too long, but we are very happy, and Lori Ann will put Paul onto the permanent salvation prayer list. And please keep us updated, Soda Man, if any changes happen. Heavenly Father, we have a full chat room tonight and lots of people logging on all over the world. And Lord, they came to hear about your son tonight. They came to hear about your book. They came to hear about the prophecy written in your book. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, it says, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And today, God, as we do every time, we throw ourselves at your feet, we confess our utter dependence upon you. And Lord, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. If you don't give it to us, we're not going to have it. And we look to you to answer all of these prayers, large and small, everything from a stiff neck to stage 4 ALS disease, and everything in between. And every single prayer is important. Every single need is great to the person who has that need. And what a blessing it is, God, that as a family, we can lift all these things up and ask you to get in the middle of it, to work it out for your glory, for our good. And God, we just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, one or two more songs. And when we come back, we're going to go right into tonight's Bible study. 7 ways that Adolf Hitler was a near-perfect type of Antichrist. And we're going to have an open forum and take your Bible questions all during the next hour. I'd like to send this song out to our dear friends Tim and Beth in Lake City. This song is for you.
God, the Lamb arose. wasn't there to see him arise, but I was there when he saved my soul. For within my heart this Lamb arose. There rose a Lamb in Jerusalem. He was the Son of the Great I Am. He proved to be my
yonder, when the roll is called up yonder. on the road.
Shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway, a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's the solid foundation wherever we stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it costs just to hold it in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who'd go to the stake, quoted with their dying breath. Now its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I've found to be true: if you find when you read it that there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's the solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
Amen, amen, and we are ready to get started with tonight's combination Bible study and open forum question and answer. If you have a Bible question on any topic from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, just post it in the chat room and we'll take a shot at it. And our Bible study tonight is 7 ways that Adolf Hitler was a near perfect type of Antichrist. 7 ways that Adolf Hitler was a near perfect type of Antichrist. Let's look at way number 1. Turn to Daniel chapter 8. Turn to Daniel chapter 8. And let's look at verses 23 and 24. Daniel 8, 23, 24. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. When Adolf Hitler burst upon the world stage in 1933, he was at once a mesmerizing and fearsome figure. People didn't know what to make of Adolf Hitler. They had never seen anyone like him before. They had never heard anything like what he talked about before. People could not ever remember seeing his equal. His speeches were flame-filled invectives of his desire to create a master race of people to follow him to either death or glory. Almost immediately, all of Germany fell under his hypnotic oratory and vowed to follow him wherever he would lead.
Du, meine Arbeit für richtig hältst, ob du glaubst, dass ich fleißig gewesen bin, dass ich gearbeitet habe, dass ich mich in diesen Jahren für dich eingesetzt habe, dass ich anständig meine Zeit verwendet habe im Dienste meines Volkes. Gib du jetzt deine Stimme ab. Wenn ja, dann tritt für mich ein, so wie ich für dich eingetreten bin.
In our day, we have many talented and influential public speakers in the world of politics, but nothing even remotely approaches the verbal napalm delivered by Adolf Hitler. Everything about him was dark and filled with foreboding. Millions of German households, tens of millions of German households, actually erected shrines that featured a photograph of what they thought of as their dictator's divine countenance. They even said prayers in his behalf, even directed prayers to him throughout the day. Hitler said he came to liberate the German people, but actually he nearly destroyed every single one of them. And that's exactly what the Antichrist will do to all the people who follow him. Way number two that Adolf Hitler was a near perfect type of Antichrist. Turn to Daniel chapter 11. And for many years, I used to think that Adolf Hitler was one of the Nazis who was able to escape from Nazi Germany and get down to Argentina. And I've done many stories on how the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope was great friends to Adolf Hitler and to the Nazis, and thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of Nazi officers were able to escape justice because the Roman Catholic Church and the Vatican made sure that they got away safely. But let me read the verse to you that changed my mind one day. I went from thinking that it was highly likely that Adolf Hitler escaped to Argentina, but then when I read this verse in Daniel chapter 11, it just dawned on me he never got out of his bunker. Daniel 11, verses 41 through 45. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And I said all that to say this, Daniel 11:45. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. You know what happens to the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon? Let me show you. Turn to Revelation chapter 19. Turn to Revelation chapter 19. And in Revelation 19, we have Jesus and us saddling up on white horses and getting ready to return at the second advent. Revelation 19:11 says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns." Antichrist has one crown. Jesus has many crowns. "And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies," that's me and you. If you're saved, this is me and you. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Now, how do I know that Revelation 19:14 is us? Well, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's reason number one. Reason number two, go back to Revelation 19:14. It says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Look up at the top of the chapter. Look at verse 7 and 8. Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready at the judgment seat of Christ. And to her, verse 8, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So that's me and you on white horses. Now turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. You know what happens at the end of the Battle of Armageddon? Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Reason number two, how Adolf Hitler is a near perfect type of Antichrist. He killed himself in his bunker after destroying the entire nation of Germany, killing millions of his fellow Germans in wars they could not possibly hope to win. And he came to his end, and he was alone, and there was no one beside him. There was no one helping him. Daniel says about the Antichrist, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. That changed my mind about what I believe about the death of Hitler. Reason number three, how Adolf Hitler is a near-perfect type of Antichrist. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 3 and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The Antichrist is not content to merely rule over people. He must be seen as very God to them and receive the worship that is meant for God alone. Now, Adolf Hitler had a massive Messiah complex that is very well documented. Dozens of books have been written about the Messiah complex of Adolf Hitler. But what is more intriguing is how the German people indulged him in his Messiah complex. In his book, Mein Kampf, Adolf Hitler said that world peace cannot arrive until, quote, that day when the man superior to all others will have conquered and subjugated the world. I'm going to say that again because that was really good. In his book, Mein Kampf, Adolf Hitler says that world peace cannot arrive until, quote, that day when the man superior to all others will have conquered and subjugated the world. Now, one man will indeed rule this world, and that man is Jesus Christ. But the Antichrist, the false Messiah, will rule it for a seven-year period known as the time of Jacob's trouble. Adolf Hitler saw himself as that man who would and could and should reign over the entire earth. Have you ever studied the conquests of Germany in the 1930s and 1940s? He invaded Austria, the Rhineland, the Sudetenland, Czechoslovakia, Poland, France, Russia. He didn't want just to conquer Europe. He wanted to conquer the entire world. You know what Revelation says? Revelation 2:20. 6:20. No, 2:20. I have my address all mixed up. Sorry about that. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's the Antichrist. That's what Adolf Hitler did. He was not trying to merely rule over Germany. He wasn't trying merely to rule over Europe. He was happy when the United States declared war on him. And he envisioned himself as a global ruler. And he came very, very close to actually doing that. Reason number four why Adolf Hitler is a near perfect type of Antichrist. Go back to Daniel chapter 11. Go back to Daniel chapter 11 and let's take a look at verse 36 through 38. Daniel chapter 11, 36 through 38. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. That's Isaiah 14. And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his father knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Many Bible commentators look at Daniel 11:37, and it says that Antichrist does not regard the desire of women, and they have taken that to mean that perhaps the Antichrist will be a homosexual. Now, it's possible that he could be a homosexual, but that's not what the passage is saying. Daniel says he does not regard the desire of women, meaning he doesn't value it. He doesn't treat it the way the Bible says that a man should treat a woman. What does Paul say about that? He says, husbands, love your wives. That's what he says in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now go back to Daniel 11:37. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Adolf Hitler had a lot of girlfriends. Adolf Hitler, on the last day he was on this earth, he got married. But at no point in his life did he treat any of those women in a normal relationship way that you would expect. One of the women that Adolf Hitler was romantically involved with was Gili Rubel, and she was Hitler's half-niece. And for a short period of time, he was involved in a romantic relationship with her. She fell deeply in love with him, and he toyed with her like a cat with a mouse. When she realized that she was never going to have the relationship that she craved, she took a pistol and committed suicide. Eva Braun, the last woman that Hitler would ever have, also committed suicide after many years of a relationship with him. She had complained privately to friends that Adolf Hitler didn't seem to care for her at all. He would tell her constantly that he was married to Germany and could not be with any woman when he had such important work to do. Adolf Hitler had women. He used women. He did not regard the natural desire that he was supposed to have for her and that she was supposed to have for him. Nearly every woman that Adolf Hitler was involved with either committed suicide or attempted suicide multiple times. And that's what I believe Daniel 11:37 is talking about. I do not see a homosexual antichrist. What I see is what Adolf Hitler did. That's what I see is the fulfillment of Daniel 11:37. And when you look at somebody like Emmanuel Macron, he married a woman that's like 34 years older than him. And it's a very weird relationship. It's almost like he married a woman just to say that he had somebody he was married to so he would have a backdrop for his political career. It's a very weird relationship. All right, reason number five why Adolf Hitler was a near-perfect type of Antichrist. Give me Daniel chapter 8 in one hand and Revelation chapter 13 in the other hand. Daniel 8 and Revelation 13. Daniel 8:25 says, "And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against a prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand." Revelation 13:4. "And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him?" The Bible says that Antichrist amasses a huge worldwide army and proceeds to make war. Adolf Hitler did exactly that. He started in 1936 with the Rhineland and ended it in 1943 with his attempt to take Russia after having successfully captured Poland, Czechoslovakia, France, just to name a few. In Adolf Hitler's first speech in power in 1933, Adolf Hitler was a mighty man of war without question. He saw himself as Germany's man of destiny and the man that paradoxically would bring them peace through bloody conflict. Reason number six why Adolf Hitler is a near-perfect type of Antichrist. The Bible says this in Revelation 13:18. "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. As we've been showing you, Adolf Hitler was not the Antichrist, but rather a type picture of what the actual Antichrist will be like when he does finally show up. It is well and widely known that the biblical number of Antichrist is 666, featured in countless horror movies and end times depictions. In his book, Sieg Heil, by Stefan Laurent, on page 120, there is a photograph of Adolf Hitler when he first registered with the Nazi Party in Austria. His ID card has an interesting number on it. What better number for the last world type of Antichrist than 555? What you're looking at in the chat room is an actual picture of Adolf Hitler's National Socialist German Workers' Party ID card from 1920. This is actually before it would become the Nazi Party. It says Deutsche Arbeit Partei, German Workers' Party, 1920. He's just a member at that point, and they give him a card with the number 555. Woo! All right, reason number 7, why Adolf Hitler is a near-perfect type of Antichrist. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 30, and let's look at verses 4 through 7. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 4 through 7. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. The Bible is filled with dozens and dozens of verses showing that the main object of the Antichrist's wrath will be the Jewish people. Jesus in Matthew 24 says that the Jews will be forced to flee to the Red Rock city of Sela Petra when the Antichrist comes calling during the time of Jacob's trouble. The death of God's chosen people is his main mission. This is exactly what drove Adolf Hitler as well, an overwhelming and quite irrational hatred of a single ethnic group of people, the Jews. Hitler said this, and I quote, "The struggle for world domination will be fought entirely between us, between Germans and Jews. All else is facade and illusion. Behind England stands Israel, and behind France and behind the United States. Even when we have driven the Jew out of Germany, he will remain our national enemy." I'm sorry, he remains our world enemy. That's what Adolf Hitler said. The struggle for world domination will be fought entirely between us, between Germans and Jews. All else is facade and illusion. Behind England stands Israel, and behind France, and behind the United States. Even when we have driven the Jew out of Germany, he remains our world enemy. Did you know that Henry Ford thought exactly the same thing? And Henry Ford had a newspaper that he purchased called the Dearborn Independent. And he wrote a series of articles called The International Jew. And you know who read those articles? Do you know who subscribed to Henry Ford's newspaper Adolf Hitler in Germany. And do you know where where Adolf Hitler got the idea for a concentration camp from? From the assembly lines that Henry Ford invented. Do you know where Adolf Hitler got a lot of his ideas on how the Jew was the international enemy of the entire world? Adolf Hitler got most of those ideas from Henry Ford in America. And before Adolf Hitler died, Henry Ford was awarded the highest honor that Germany has to give. I bet you didn't know that about Adolf Hitler. You think that he invented all that stuff. You think he came up with the idea of concentration camps and his hatred of the Jewish people all by himself? No, he absolutely did not. Henry Ford was using his millions of dollars years before Adolf Hitler became chancellor in Germany. All through the late teens and the early 1920s, Henry Ford was producing a newspaper that stoked the fires of anti-Semitism in America. He was one of the single most inspirational people in the life of Adolf Hitler before Hitler was in power. So you can thank Henry Ford for the concentration camps, and you can thank Henry Ford for stoking the fires of anti-Semitism around America, all over Europe, and all over the world. Henry Ford was one of the most influential people of the early 20th century, and he used his power and influence to come against God's people and to stoke national and international hatred for the Jew. And Adolf Hitler was one of those people that was inspired by what he read in his subscription to Henry Ford's weekly newspaper called the Dearborn Independent. And with that, we have to take our last break of the night. When we come back, question and answer time. If you have any question on any part of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, please post it in the chat room. And when we come back, I will take my best shot at answering those questions. We'll be right back after this.
My Savior. Jesus, my Lord.
Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph on his foes. He rose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. Dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose.
Back for the last half hour of tonight's Bible study. We have been looking at seven ways that Adolf Hitler was a near perfect type of Antichrist. And we told you right before the break what a huge inspiration that Henry Ford was to Adolf Hitler. Henry Ford wrote this in 1915. I know who caused the war. German Jewish bankers. What I oppose most is the international Jewish money power that is met in every war. This is what I oppose, a power that has no country and that can order the young men of all countries out to death. Henry Ford said that he blamed the Jews for starting World War I. He was the greatest inspiration in the life of Adolf Hitler. Now, before we get back to our Bible study, I want to give you a quick update on our Bibles Behind Bars program. We have a bunch of Bibles that have been going out this week. High Desert State Prison in Nevada. We have sent the 100 Ruckman Reference Bibles for their Bible study program and an opening order of 250 King James Bibles to Chaplain Calderin at the High Desert State Prison. We've also sent another 250 King James Bibles to Chaplain Todd at the Sebastian County Adult Detention Center. We are also sending 250 Spanish Bibles to Chaplain Friau at the River Correctional Center in Faraday, Louisiana. So about 850 Bibles going out just today. Just today. We need your support. We need your prayers for our free Bible program, for our Bibles Behind Bars program. We've been raising money for the past couple of weeks to send out all these Bibles. And today we had the opening order of 850 going out, and many more will be going out next week as well. If you'd like to help us to send Bibles to places like the High Desert State Prison, the Sebastian County Adult Detention Center, the River Correctional Center, the St. Augustine County Jail in St. John's County, and all the other places that we're sending Bibles to this summer, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com, click on the donate button, and help us to continue this very necessary and very important end times work. But just to give you a quick update, 850 Bibles went out today. And please pray for each and every one of the people that will be receiving those Bibles. All right, let's take some of your questions. I know Charlie on the highway had a question, and here it is. He says, Jesus Christ is serving as our high priest, now being King and Lord Oh, Jesus is serving as our high priest now, from the book of Hebrews, being King and Lord during the millennial reign and beyond. After the judgment seat of Christ, my understanding is we will be kings and priests with him, doing his will. So, an intense study of the Old Testament is in order to prepare us for our role. And he says, is that correct? Well, yes and no. It is yes from the perspective that, turn to the book of Zechariah. Turn to the book of Zechariah. And the Bible says this, that the sacrificial system is going to come back during the millennium. And look in Zechariah 14, verse 16. Zechariah 14, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, even to go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague where the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And he says, this is the punishment, verse 19. This is the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And so we understand from the Old Testament that when Jesus is sitting on the throne, there is going to be a temple, and he is going to be sitting there on the throne of David. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 40. Ezekiel chapter 40. Look at verse 5. Actually, verse 1. Ezekiel 40, verse 1. In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after that the city was smitten, in the selfsame day the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel, and set me upon a very high mountain, which was as the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass. That is Revelation chapter 1. This is Jesus Christ, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I will show thee. For to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. Now we don't have time to go into the next 8 chapters, but Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48 shows you the millennial temple that Jesus is going to be sitting in. Now, we have an article that we did about the temple of Antichrist, and I forget the title of that article. It said, this will shock you to the core about the coming third temple. And we'll see if we can find that article for you. There will be a temple during the tribulation, but it's going to be the temple of Antichrist. I gave you that verse from 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And it's going to be the temple of Antichrist. So, Charlie on the Highway said, should we read the Old Testament to prepare ourselves? Well, yes, to prepare ourselves mentally now. But when it comes time to be kings and priests, as the book of Revelation says, turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5, look at verses 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So, reading the Old Testament prepares us here for being kings and priests. But when it comes time to actually do that, we will have the mind of Christ and we'll know exactly what to do, because he will put that into us when we get glorified. That was a great question. Thank you, Charlie on the highway. Let's see if we have any other questions. AJ, please compare Jeremiah 6:16 and Ecclesiastes 7:10. All right. Jeremiah 6:16 and Ecclesiastes 7:10. Give me just 1 second to load both those pages. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. One of my favorite verses. And see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And let's compare that to Ecclesiastes 7:10. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. So the question is, can we make a comparison to Jeremiah 6:16 and Ecclesiastes 7:10? Well, in Ecclesiastes 7, King Solomon is giving us kind of like the diametrically opposed ideas of wisdom and folly. And he is comparing those two things together. And when you get down to verse 10, he says, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Have you ever spent time with people and they'll talk about the glory days, how much better things were when they were a kid, or how much different life was when they were in high school? Solomon is talking about that. He is talking about that. Look at verse 8 of Ecclesiastes 7. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud. And so, all through this chapter, he is comparing wisdom and people who do wise things, and folly, people who do and say foolish things. And Solomon is saying that it is a foolish thing to look back into the past, because nobody lives in the past, right? We don't live in the past. We don't live in the future. We live one day at a time. You can't go back into tomorrow to change something. You can't go back into yesterday to change something. Tomorrow hasn't come. All you ever have is a perpetual present today. And Solomon is saying, from a high level, why would you want to go back and say that things used to be better? He says, the end of something is better than the beginning of something. And now when you go back to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, well, this is not comparing wisdom and folly. This is God talking through the prophet Jeremiah and telling his people to remember the former days where God got them through the Exodus, and he parted the Red Sea, and he fed them with manna, and he fed them with quail, and he did all these miraculous things. He gave them incredible victories under King David and Joshua. And this is what Jeremiah is saying. Solomon is saying kind of something from a very high level. Jeremiah is very specific. This is God telling you, stick with the old book, King James Bible. Stick with the old songs. Don't listen to that Hillsong junk. Stand in the ways and look for the old paths. Ask for the old ways. That's the good way. In the former days. That's an expression that you'll hear a lot in your King James Bible. Former days. Zechariah 8:11. But now I will not be on to the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. Meaning, Jacob's trouble is coming to an end, and now something better is coming, looking forward, like what Solomon said to do. And then Hebrews 10:32, but call to remembrance in the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. So, if I had to compare and contrast Jeremiah 6:16 with Ecclesiastes 7:10, that's what I would say. Good question. Thank you. Michigan girl, can we do a Bible study on Numbers? Yes, we can actually do that. I think you suggested that a while back. We will put it on the list. Joshua has a question. Battle of Gog and Magog after the millennial reign, so evil and sin will still be present on the earth during the thousand-year reign. Will the earth still be under the curse of the fall? All right. Give me Romans chapter 8 and Revelation chapter 20. Joshua is asking two questions. Let's take the last one first. Turn to Romans chapter 8. You remember in Genesis chapter 3 that after the fall, God cursed the serpent, he cursed the man, he cursed the woman, and he cursed the earth. And look at Romans chapter 8. What is the verse that I'm looking for? I think it's Romans chapter 8. Yes, look at verse 18. Romans 8:18. Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Job chapter 1, 1 John chapter 3. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And I said that to say this. For we know, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So Paul says that the whole creation groans and travails and has been ever since God put a curse on this earth. Now, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. There is a day coming where God is going to blow the whole thing up and he's going to start over. This is going to be after the Battle of Gog and Magog. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, you want to see when that takes place? Turn to Revelation chapter 20, and let's answer Joshua's other question. His first question was, sin and evil will still be present on earth, will sin and evil still be present on earth during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ? Absolutely, and let me show you how. If you look in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 7, you will see the expression 1,000 years, 6 times. You see it in verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7. So, the millennial reign of Christ is a literal, actual 1,000 years on the earthly calendar period of time. When that time is done, Satan, verse 7, shall be loosed out of his prison. And look what happens. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as of the sand of the sea. Have you ever asked yourself, how is it possible, after the entire world has lived for 1,000 years under a perfect king who is a perfect ruler, ruling and reigning in peace and power and righteousness, and when that 1,000-year period is done, there are enough unsaved people who hate Jesus, who have been waiting for the devil to get let out of his chains, and the second that they have the opportunity, those same people who lived under Jesus Christ for 1,000 years are going to join up with the devil, and this is what happens to them. Revelation 20, verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now, turn to Isaiah chapter 66. Joshua's question, will there be sin and evil during the millennial reign? Isaiah 66, verses 22 through 24. Isaiah 66, 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make after the millennium, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. So, anybody who sins during the millennium will be instantly put down, immediately judged. And then they're going to be thrown into that pit. And it's going to be an open pit, and people walking past can see the souls of the people who transgressed against the Lord. That was a good question. Hope I answered all three parts of that question. Jersey is asking, will the tribulation saints be saved. Yeah, they absolutely will be saved. Let me show you two places where they pop up. Turn to Revelation chapter 6. Turn to Revelation chapter 6. And don't worry if we don't have time to get to your question tonight. Lord willing, this Sunday, we will do another open forum, which is usually what we have to do. Far too many questions to answer in one single program. But Lord willing, we will do another open forum on Sunday. So, Revelation chapter 6. Let me show you what happens to the tribulation saints who refuse the mark of the beast, and they are killed during the time of Jacob's trouble. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, five is the number for death and judgment. 6 plus 9 is 15. And when he, that's 555. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. These are tribulation saints who got killed. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So Jersey is asking, will the tribulation saints be saved? Yes. In Revelation 6, we see the souls of the murdered and executed tribulation saints who refused the mark of the beast. And Jesus says, you guys just hang tight until this whole thing plays out. Now turn to Revelation 20 and look at verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. This is what happens to the saints under the altar. Remember how Jesus says that they are to rest for a little season? Well, I'm going to show you what happens when the little season is over. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Those are the ones, Revelation 6, 9 through 11. These are the souls under the altar. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So, Jersey is asking, will the tribulation saints be saved? The ones that die refusing the mark of the beast in Jacob's trouble, they wind up following the Lamb wherever he goes and living with him and reigning with him, just like me and you will reign as kings and priests. Tribulation saints will be right there alongside us. Now, let me show you the second place that the tribulation saints are saved. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Look at verses 29 through 31. Matthew 24, verses 29 through 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, that's the time of Jacob's trouble, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. That's Joel chapter 2. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. That's Joel chapter 3. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is the post-tribulation rapture of tribulation saints. This is the post-tribulation rapture of tribulation saints. So, yes, the tribulation saints are saved. The ones who die refusing the mark of the beast wind up under the altar, and then they wind up reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. The ones who are alive down on the earth get raptured. That's not our rapture in Matthew chapter 24. I wrote an article called 5 Reasons Why Matthew 24 is Not the Rapture of the Church. 5 Reasons Why Matthew 24 is Not the Rapture of the Church. It is the rapture of tribulation saints. And that's going to be the men, the women, and the children. And with that, we have come to the end of our time for tonight. I love when we do open forum. You guys have great questions, and many of you have been participating in these open forums for years and years now, and we just love the open forum question and answer, get all riled up answering these questions. It's an exciting thing, and Lord willing, Sunday night, we will do part 2, but we'll have a Friday podcast before that. So thank you for being a part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Friday at noon Eastern time for another NTEB Prophecy News podcast. Have a great week, everybody.
Was a good man. For God he took a stand. The devil came along, took his health and his home and all that he had. Then Job's wife said, end it all. But Job arose up and stood tall. If you'd have been there that day, I think you'd heard old Job say, I believe I'll go on. I believe I'll go on. Trust in him alone. Though the burden's been heavy and the storms have been many, he'll lead me safely home. And when I get there, I pray you'll make me stronger, and I believe I'll go on. Now there've been times when I felt I couldn't make it, and there've been times when my life it was shaken, and there've been times I couldn't find the strength to carry on. But in the midst of my darkness, when I heard his voice saying, child, you're not alone. So I'll hold to God's hand. He'll give me grace to stand. And I believe I'll go on. I believe I'll go on. Trust in him alone. Though the burden's been, and the storms have been many, to lead me safely home. And when I get there, I'll leave all sorrows and cares. Though this road may be longer, Lord, I pray
longer, and I believe I'll go on. And I believe I'll go on, trusting Him alone. Though the burden's been heavy and the storms have been many, He'll lead me safely home. And when I get there, I'll leave all sorrows and cares. Though this road may be longer, Lord, I pray You'll make me stronger, and I believe I'll.